Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream, a podcast on the edge of consciousness where science, spirit, and the unknown collide. What if the reason you feel different is because you're not fully from Earth? And what if someone can see exactly where your soul came from and what you came here to do before you were born? Can even read your cosmic origin map of where your soul has traveled across galaxies? Well, King Cash is here. And in this conversation, you're going to discover how astral travel really works, what happens during a spiritual upgrade, and why humanity is on the brink of a multidimensional awakening you can feel in your body right now. Stay with us, because before this episode ends, you'll understand how to recognize your own spiritual upgrades and whether you're already in one. And if you'd like to learn more about him, all the URLs, all the links will be in the show notes below. And with that, I welcome King Cash to Dare to Dream. It is so amazing to have you here today. Hi, brother.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here with you.
Oh, finally, we do this together. I'm so excited. I know your story, but perhaps people who are listening don't know. So give us just a pivotal moment, the moment when your life stopped being normal, maybe not that it ever was. And what was the first upgrade that you experienced that changed everything for you?
I would say that things started getting really, in my words, then odd around high school. So before that, I was always really sensitive to energy. I didn't even know what it was. I was just like, if everybody feels good, then I feel good. And I kept it like that. But then when I got to high school, that was a big shift. And it was, especially since I was also the only Black person in my town, it was already something, something personally hard. But then being there and the energy, I didn't understand yet, but I was just like, it was so chaotic. And I felt like I could feel everyone's emotions and everybody's anxious. So then I'm extremely anxious. And then I remember in grade 10 is when it was actually New Year's Day was when I had my first upgrade, which was a seizure. And before that, I had these upgrades, but I never seized out. And I had them for about a year or two. And then after on New Year's Day, from then on, I would have seizures reoccurringly every single month. And from there, my sensitivity would increase and my insight and things I would know about people would just increase. And I was able to engage with spirits and energy in different forms and stuff like that. There was so much that was happening that I didn't fully understand. I just knew I was getting more sensitive. And that's when I realized I was what they call an empath. And at the end of high school is when I started creeping people out and creeping myself out. Because I was like, how do I, like, I'd be able to like talk to like a spirit that's near them. But in my mind, I'm just like talking to their energy. And then they'd be like, people would be like, how do you know these things? And I'd be like, I don't know. I just know. Or like that energy behind you told me. And so from then on, I was realizing that I was able to engage with spirits and feel people's energy and all of that stuff. And so from then on, I started doing some missions and assignments, I call them, which is when the spirits would send me on assignments. They'd be like, okay, we need your help with this, or someone who sees spirits. At the beginning, I was just like, okay, y'all, we'll see about that. And I just thought it was the angels talking to me. So I'm like, the angels told me to go to the park today. Someone sees spirits. And I go there. It's exactly like how they say. I'm like, wow, like, this is real, real. And so it got to the point where I was doing these assignments all the time. And I said, okay, stop. Whoever y'all are, whatever this is, I'm not going to do no more of these assignments until y'all tell me who you are, what this is, who am I? And that's when I had a UFO experience. And that's when I realized I was what they said as one of them in a human form. And that explained so much. And from then on, everything started going crazy.
You know, this is When you say them, who was them? Galactic family that you met at the time.
Yes, this was Galactic Federation of Light. So when they let me know that I was an agent of the GFL in a human body, that changed my whole mentality about everything in life.
When did you change your name from Vincent Kane to King Cash?
My middle name is Cash or Cassius, and so I just decided to go by my middle name. And it's funny because it's very similar to my spirit name or what the ETs call me. So I was like, okay, I'll stick with this.
Well, that's beautiful. I love that. So the signature was already in your name. Your mom was really in touch, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was.
We love her. We love her. What a beautiful woman. I've met her, just so folks know, she's really all that. And I'm so curious. Thank you for that. Thank you for that overview. What is something that you've seen or experienced in the astral realm that you've never shared publicly before?
Ooh, well, there's a lot I could tell y'all. One that I could think of on the top of my head was going to Pandora in Avatar. Now, I was always skeptical of anybody, but when people say anything is real, and I remember at one point, I was always obsessed with Avatar when I was younger, and I was like, you know what? This was last year. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna see if this joint is real. And I went one night and it was very real. I was like, whoa, this is so similar to the movie. And I realized that, like, when I went there, they were like, welcome home. And I was like, home? And they're like, you know, this is, you've been here so many times and this, now you're on Earth. And they're like, thank you for going to Earth. It's like they were, it's almost like being like of service. They're like, you decided to go to Earth. Thank you. And I was like, you're welcome. And from there, it was interesting because I would always do these. I've never talked about this before. I would do these missions there, and it was like there's a war going on there with humans, like secret space program stuff, like humans and Na'vi. And I realized the movie is actually depicting real historical events that are that have happened and happening. So it's like every movie that comes out is like depicting what happened within like this timestamp right now. I found that so fascinating, and for months I was going there and interacting with these ice Na'vi and doing these wars. And that's then later I figured out Avatar 4 coming out and it's all about ice Na'vi. And that shocked me.
You actually have Camille was able to go into the nature and you would connect with everything.
And they taught me so much stuff. I went to their research facilities. They even have a lot of Na'vi have facilities off of their planet, like in orbit, and they invited me to those. And I was learning things like how, for example, certain plants here, like cannabis, is related to their sacred plants there. So their sacred plants where they would connect their neural link, cannabis is actually related to that, which is why now I call it the sacred plant and how neurological it is. That's amazing.
Before, by the way, believe the same is true for ayahuasca. I don't know that it comes from another planet, but I do believe the extraterrestrials were the ones who gifted us with the knowledge. Because how would somebody, whether it's just an indigenous or a shaman, how would they be walking through the Amazon larger than the United States and out of
Word.
all the massive foliage? Before we started desecrating that beautiful land, but how would they say that vine, that plant, let's pull them, put them in water, cook them, serve it, and it will heal? Like
Right.
it's impossible. And so I believe that they are called sacred plants for a reason. And they're not for partying, also, but they're really for sacred usage, for passage. So I love that you
Yes.
said that. And so you travel the astral realm during the day, during the night, which is amazing. What is the biggest misconception that people have about astral travel?
A few things like that you could get lost outside your body and stuff like that. Not true. Okay, yeah, there could be times where you're trying to get back to your body and your body's so dormant that it's like keep traveling, I'm sleeping. That's true. Or if somehow you were like close to death or something and you couldn't return. Those are the only times. And people assume that it's like super scary because of the sleep paralysis stuff and all of that. It's actually like there's different layers of the astral, like many of you probably already know. And I've actually explored so much of on the planet and off the planet and learned from certain beings to realize how mixed the astral and the physical are and how tied they are together. It's like you could do something in the astral and that's going to materialize in the physical the next morning or a few days later and stuff like that. So many people think it's scary or that it's like demonic or something. And that's the furthest from the truth. That's very much said to prevent people from doing it.
If you bring up, that's real because it started happening to me when I was 18 years old. I remember coming from New York to California. That was my dream. I was going to USC. I was starting college and I took myself to the beach, to Santa Monica, fell asleep on the beach, left my body, but I didn't know how to get back in. And I wasn't surrounded with people like you are who would help me through that. And it happened a lot for many years. So, can you talk about that and how someone can get through that?
Yeah, I noticed that when you are calm, you know your body's always going to call you back. It's like there's this relationship with the soul and the body in which is maintained, and really your soul is jumping in your astral body. So it's really like it's like you're going from one vessel to the other, and then you're using that to travel. And so I always tell people, I'm like, always stay calm. Like there's times when I'm in a dream and I'm like trying to wake up and I can't, or I'm out my body in there and the ETs are like, relax, like we still got time here. And so there's always like this mentality that's been put into me by the beings of staying calm and being in awareness that no matter what, your body's always going to pull you back when it's time. And I make sure no one's ever afraid with that knowing.
That's really good. It's true. It is true. Because I was too young and too not knowing. So much happened to me when I was young that I didn't understand. And I was not calm. That's very true. And the more I panicked, like the bigger the chasm felt between this ethereal being I was, this energy really out, and then seeing my body laying on a beach and going, whoa, this is really crazy. So being calm. And then have you encountered beings in the astral that ever challenged your understanding of reality or even your sense of safety?
Yes. Okay, I'll go from both angles. From reality, I would say the way that I've seen these beings operate and the way they look at the universe, it's so grand and they all do things different ways. We assume that life is like this. You got a physical body and you do all of this, but some of them, they're like when we're traveling together, they're astral traveling too. And so we're traveling together. Or they have physical vessels and they could see me even though I'm there astrally. And sometimes I'm like they're teaching or they're asking me like, what's Earth like? And when this happened, what was that? And they're asking me questions as they're in the physical and I'm astral traveling there. And I've seen beings that operate within like I call it the in between, where it's like in between all galaxies and timelines and stuff like that. I've seen beings, all the animals and insects you see on Earth, those are basically just what the ETs call smaller versions of themselves. So I made friends with like spider beings. I used to be petrified of spiders. But these guys, for some reason, giant tarantulas don't scare me for some reason. And to see their powers too, like spiders have this like web of time that they could travel through. And like sometimes I'd hold on their back and they'd be like, hold on. And we'd like travel through time. It's mesmerizing. And for the second thing with safety, I learned how demons actually work, especially how people battle them and how that actually works and how possessions work and stuff like that. Seeing how everything that's happening in the physical is a result of what's happening in spirit. So if a demon's attacking you, for example, okay, they could attack you psychically and all of that, but sometimes they're possessing someone, they send someone to do something to you or to make you think they know what triggers you and what's gonna make you act out a character. They know. And so then they're going to whip up something and somehow make the physical whip up to kind of attack you. But when you're aware, you notice it. You notice it. Like, say you're struggling with lust, and all of a sudden, all these lustful people are coming at you. and you're like, oh, you, like when you're aware, you're like, oh, I know what's going on, or you're handling like anger, and then people are coming and trying to fight you. You already know what it is. And so those, it didn't make me feel unsafe. At first, it's kind of scary because you're like, how do I fight them, or how do I bring about this new world with this? But once you adapt, especially as a shadow hunter, for you shadow hunters out there, it's like once you realize how they operate, it actually makes you feel very much more safe, because you realize they can only attack you in ways that are to get you to act out of your character, act out of your spirit. And so being very much in alignment with your spirit and self-aware makes it so you can spot attacks anywhere. Even if it's like telepathic attacks, you're in awareness because you're self-aware. And so for everyone, having that self-awareness and connection with your spirit is always it's what demons fear the most, I'll say that.
Interesting. Interesting. Also, that we need to regulate our frequency, because when we get into lower, depressed, anxious frequency, I mean, it could be many things. Sometimes you just pick up someone else's energy, has nothing to do with you, or sometimes maybe the world is impacting you or your life, but it's so important to regulate, modulate, be on top of your frequency. That's when attachments can happen. And so let's say that happens, because I love this is very important, I think, what you just shared. So I'm going to give an example. Someone goes into a Starbucks and they realize they're acting out of anger, and they're probably not very nice to the person at the register and not very nice to people online. And then they're self-aware, and then they say, whoa, what's up? I'm not usually like this. So let's say there is something siphoning off of you. What can we do at that point when the awareness kicks up so that we can end that relationship, that vampiric relationship, and off, into the light so that you can come back to self?
Self-awareness is one thing that the ETs taught me first, and it actually made me do it for like they forced it to happen. Like I'd have like self-aware attacks, and I'd be like, what's going on? Like I could see the world in a way that I didn't realize. Like I'm aware that I'm in a body, like in a vehicle. And when you zoom out and look at the world and yourself like that, you're like, this is my body. This is me experiencing emotions and my thoughts and my body. All of that, then you zoom out and you realize, whoa, this doesn't. I'm okay. I realize I'm acting in this way, or I'm having this emotion, and that's step one. When you're in awareness, that's step one, and then step two is to now realize why you're acting like that, and then to go it from the opposite direction. Anytime you guys are aware first, that is the biggest thing, because then it can't control you, unlike if you weren't aware and you were just operating off of it. So you begin to now realize, okay, I'm experiencing this, and you're now deciding how you want to handle it and what you want to do with that. I always tell people with emotions that as soon as you realize that you're experiencing them, you honor them. Even when you're sad or you're angry, you really start to honor, even though you may not like it, you honor it in the moment, knowing you're going to get through it. And that's, I always call that just emotional intelligence. You're just awareness of your emotions, and now you're beginning to observe, look at them, and understand why. Because when you get to the core, then you get it's basically, some people call it shadow work, because now you're doing the work behind the scenes in which is causing you to react that way. So you're getting to the core of your vibration, and now it's rising because you're doing what was subconsciously keeping your vibration lower. So now you're just rising in energy. I always say go to your core, and that's going to change the game.
Yeah, thank you for that. Curious, when you meet the Galactic Federation, they say, oh, you're one of us. You're an employee, by the way, living in a 3D world. Thank you very much. What galactic species do you resonate with? Are you aware of who your various families are out there and who tends to you and who you connect with?
When I was, I would say 2021, 2022, that's when I was first realizing more of who I was. And when I realized I was a Lyran, I almost cried. I was like, I didn't even fully understand what a Lyran was, but I just started like tearing up, and it made sense because all my life, especially in high school is where I kept saying, "I'm a lion, I could do this. I'm a lion, I could do this." Like I need to figure out, I need to become a lion right now. This is where I'm meant to become it. It's like I was subconsciously aware of why I was undergoing this experience in high school, and that helped me really get into my lion energy to then. After high school graduating, that's when I realized the starseed stuff. And I was like, whoa. So when I awakened, I was like, that makes sense with the lion energy. And I began to start just every night, I would just explore somewhere random in the galaxy and be like, let me see what's out there. And let me see who is around and who I'm connected to. And almost everywhere I went, I realized I had connections or they knew of me. So I start to itch my head. I'm like, how do these guys already know who I am? What? And they would just laugh and be like, he's gonna see, he's gonna see. And I'm just like, and I'm laughing too, because I'm like, they think this is a game. And they're like, and they hear me thinking that, and they're like, it kind of is a game. Like you're in a game right now. And so every time I come back to my body, I'm just like, I may be alone physically, but I'm like, millions of eyes are on me right now. Even right now, they're observing this and they're studying humans and studying how we as star seeds are operating among the humans. It's all like a, it's like a movie slash experiment slash game. Reminds me of Divergent. It's like in Divergent when they realized their whole life was just an experiment, but it was super important, just like that. And so in connecting with all these different beings, then I see how my soul played a role in their journey. I remember I went to the grasshopper beings one time in Antares, and their homes are really cool. And long story short, as soon as I got there, something like this energy hit me of like I just got these flashes of what I did there, and I realized I was like protecting them at one point. And I talked to this one grasshopper lady, and she's like, you left us, like you said you would protect us. And just this sadness came over me. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I just remembered. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I was called to Earth and all of this. It's weird because your astral self knows a little more than you do. So when I woke up, I was like, what did I say? And I was like, I'm so sorry. And she's like, it's okay. You're helping us even more by being on Earth. And I was just like, oh, but I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And they're like, it's okay. You're protecting us right now. And so I would go to these places and I would get past life memories, whether it's in the day or while I'm traveling with them. And then that would just kind of expand my view beyond this lifetime. So now I'm just like, I don't see me as just, King Cash. I'm like, okay, that's who I'm playing a character as now, but really I'm way more than that. And now I kind of course, keep a lot of who I realize I am personally, just knowing that's who I am. People wouldn't believe me anyways, but I just know now who I am.
Absolutely. You were talking, Kinkash, about the seizures you had. Those were your initial upgrades. And that's powerful to have had seizures for that long and that often. I had a cat who had seizures. And I think it's true, the person going through the seizure, it's not as awful because you're not cognizant of everything that's happening. But for those people around you, it's considerable. Feeling so powerless while you're going through this. And now, today, you talk about spiritual seizures as upgrade events for us. Can you walk us through what happens during a spiritual seizure and then what changes afterwards?
Upgrades is something that everybody receives in different forms. Some are just like they get the headaches and they're tired. Some they have body aches or stuff like that. But you realize it's some sort of upgrading or change in your system. And the physical body has a hard time. These young human bodies, which no matter how old you are, you're a young human body. And that is it, these bodies have a hard time processing these advanced level energies. And so the human vessel, which is very young, can kind of struggle with that. And for me, they started getting more powerful to the point where I would start to seize out. And I still have them to this day, even though they're starting to spread out now. They're ending like how they began. But I would always like, I could tell before they would come, it feels like an extreme deja vu. Like it's just like the most extreme deja vu you could think of. It feels like that. And I'm like, oh my God, like. And then every, it's like a frequency, like all these, Like any song that's playing, any birds chirping, wind blowing, like everything is blending with that frequency. That's when I started to realize it was a frequency. And I would, and for my seizures, I actually am conscious while they're happening. And so I could feel everything that's going on and I could hear the people. So my parents know that. So they're always letting me know, like, you're good, you're not hitting nothing, it's fine. And so I would say they are the most painful experiences of my life, but they've given me so much. Like every time I'd wake up from one, my brain would be different. Like every time I wake up, I'd be like, whoa, like my mind is different. How come I see the world differently? And at the beginning, we didn't know what they were. I just thought they were panic attacks. But then as I started getting more sensitive and stuff, I realized, and then meeting people like you who were telling me, you know, this is something that people, other shamans go through. And that's when I started to realize, whoa, so I'm technically a shaman in human terms. And last thing I'll say is in watching some movies and shows, so Spirit was telling me, oh, we're going to show you more of how normal this is for you and who you are. Watching Avatar 2 and seeing Kiri having her seizure and what she said one day, she said, AWOF feels like a word about to be spoken. And that's what my seizures feel like. They feel like someone's about to say, like, of that feeling of like when the beat's about to drop, that's what it feels like. And it feels like it's just hanging there. And then it's like, then the after energy is like once the beat drops. And then now my mind is like, whoa. And everything's very different. And my body and my mind is like sore from it. And Game of Thrones, where the one guy is able to astral travel anywhere and everywhere, and he has seizures reoccurringly. So I started to realize Spirit was letting me know, look, this is something that's unique for people like you. And then to study their roles and just in the show, you already know these are codes, you know, truth in plain sight. I was able to then decode more of who I was and what these abilities were and what was the plan for me. And that definitely changed the way I look at the universe, especially.
Wow, it's so powerful for you, for your family. I can't even imagine still going through that. It's very interesting. Are they doing tests on you? Do they do, because I mean, I'm just fascinated by research, but do they do tests to start to understand the brain chemistry or electricity at all?
They did. They tried. They hooked me up to all these machines. They put me in these different scanners and all that. And they're like, there's nothing wrong. Like they said, if anything, they should be destroying your brain, but they're not. And just in even speaking to my friends after my upgrades, they'd be like, bro, it's like you mature. They would say in their words, you would mature so much more after your upgrade. It's like you would mature what would take 6 months, you would do it in one night. And when I started to get that view from externally, I started to realize, whoa, like I feel the change. I know what the change is, but to see the outer reaction of it was also very interesting in my eyes. And so there was a lot of scanning and stuff, and they never could figure out what it was.
Amazing. Oh, you help us to understand how we can recognize our own spiritual upgrades and whether we're already in one.
Sometimes you guys will get them in different ways and different intensities. I know some people who faint, like they feel it and then they faint. Most people I know, especially most of my clients, they get these upgrades. They don't even realize they're upgrades, but their spirit team is like, you'll tell them that those headaches they're getting, that mind pressure and that tiredness is the upgrades, and they get them reoccurringly.
True. Oh
And
my.
so I would talk to them about that, and they're like, and they know instantly, like, yeah, like that's what that is. I just thought there was something wrong, but there's nothing wrong. So I've seen so many different ways that bodies react to upgrades, but they're always in different intensities and different ways, which I usually notice the most common way is the headaches and the tiredness and body aches. And once their people are in awareness that this is an upgrade, they always notice as well that after that, they're a little more sensitive, or their ability turned up just a little more, and then their mind has to adjust to that. It's like their consciousness has to adjust to that new reality that they're living in this body. And so I would say almost everybody gets upgrades. Even I noticed people that I'm really close to share a part of my energetic upgrade, which is really interesting. I started studying this before I wanted to talk about it. This is the first time me talking about it. Where I had a best friend and we got so close and we would actually travel together all the time. And they would start to, whenever I would get an upgrade, their body would be sore. They would be getting head strain and stuff like that. And now it's with my mom. And so now she's receiving it. And she would just let me know, like, as soon as I'm getting upgraded, she'd text me and be like, man, my head hurting. You good? You good? And I'm like, yeah, mama's hitting right now, but it's all right. And so we kind of like share that energy. And she's like, I told my mom, I was like, I'm so sorry you gotta go through this. She's like, no, I want this. And she, her energy sensitivity and everything is just, I witnessed her intuition is increased. I'm like, mama, you noticed that? You knew this? And she's like, yeah, like, I didn't even know. I said, welcome to upgrade season.
I feel like sales in coffee must be so up right now because my symptom is tired. And I sleep pretty well, you know? So I have a full night's sleep. I wake up, I'm really tired. I know there are so many nights, Cash, that I go to other dimensions. I have very profound experiences. I bring it all back. I share it with my partner, blah, 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 blah. All these things and people and messages. Sometimes they're so beautiful. But coming back from another dimension does a lot to my body. And so I don't just, wake up, da, 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 da. I'm in the day. It takes me a while because there's a confusion. There's like this fugue, right? Where I'm in this world, huh? But I'm still in that world. And until I can get fully here, it takes a few hours. And yeah, I think about coffee because I drink coffee. So I'm like, I can get with it. And then I have a dip again. And it's like, it's kind of unprecedented right now. I think there's a lot of codes happening, a lot of upgrades, a lot of ascending. And I'm grateful for it too, like your mom, totally grateful.
You know,
And
people don't talk
tiredness
about
is
going to
like,
other dimensions. And I think that's interesting that you mentioned that because just like how you said, I remember at first I actually had to get training from my spirit guides to do this. Like they would at the beginning, this was 2022 and 23, is when my guides were training me. Like they would pick me up out my body and be like, okay, we got to teach you now how to make portals, how to go to different timelines and all this. And they bring me to astral schools and teach me about all these different things. And I would wake up in the mornings and have to spend half an hour to an hour just laying in my bed to process what I did and ground back here. And I had to learn also how to be, quote unquote, I don't want to say ungrounded, but to be able to be in both densities simultaneously. And that was kind of weird on my brain. But after a few of my upgrades, it just was so normal to my consciousness, but new to my brain. And so, like, doing it, it'd be upgrading, and I'd just be able to, like, do it. And I'm like, wow, like, this is so easy for me to do. But now I have to kind of, my mind is trying to understand the how we did it and kind of like what we saw and understanding everything. But then after a bit, you do it for so long that it just becomes easier. But yes, going to different dimensions and densities. Like, one place that felt weird was the in between, which was like the place where you're in between all timelines. And I've never experienced a blackness before, or going in the black holes. I had to train for about like 6 months to go before going into a black hole. Like anytime I tried to go into one, my guides would pull me back and go like this, and they would just nod their head and be like, not yet. And so I had to go to schools to learn, and then they would take me into black holes and teach me how it work and how to do it on my own. It definitely does kind of play with your brain at the beginning. You're like, how, what? Like, I sometimes you could go to a timeline and be there for what feels like 3 days, but you're only sleeping one night. And so then I was trying to understand that and how it all worked. But some things you won't fully be able to calculate, understand. You just kind of spiritually understand how it works. And I like that much better because I know humans are always trying to calculate everything and figure out the one, two, threes. And I realize it's never going to be like that, but you will be able to spiritually understand it. And it's like your soul just naturally just understands how to do it.
While you were sharing that, so thank you so much because I just realized you're saying about grounding, and I'd heard that before. And in an interesting way, I don't feel ungrounded, but I really understand the sense of that being in a 3D body. And I was realizing, I've got a beautiful backyard here, And I thought, oh yeah, listening to you, I could just walk out in the back in the morning, especially now that it's spring and summer, and just put my feet in the grass, whether I lay on the earth or just, root myself in the earth. That's probably the most beautiful way to help myself come back while still remembering the exceptional experience I just had, because they're usually very exceptional. They're way more magical for me than here, I have to
Yeah,
say.
of course. I do want to say for anybody listening who's going through that, one way an ET taught me how to ground is to feel the physical body. They said having a physical body means you naturally have an anchor. And so when you wake up, people say put your feet in the grass and stuff like that. That's one way of grounding in the physical realm. And so when you use your body or you're using the earth, or people say feel the wind and ground back here, you're just now grounding in the physical reality. And as people get more aware, they begin to astral travel in the day and they begin to communicate with spirits 24/7 throughout the day. And so your consciousness begins to have this fluidity with all the densities. And so being in the physical here is like I could easily just be like, like I'm right here with you and talking while simultaneously talking with a spirit or sending my consciousness somewhere real quick. Or I call it partial astral travel, but humans call it remote viewing. And I go out there and I'm like looking at something or seeing something or communicating with somebody. And so you begin to always use the physical. In my mind, I say the physical atoms, this dense reality, because really the really physical, people would say it's 3D, it's actually 1D. And so it's really like the core, and then you get the physical, etheric, emotional, something like that, and then astral, mental, and soul. And so they would say 5D because the fifth density is soul. And so from there, I always say, 1D physical is rooted. And so you could always, anytime, no matter what's happening, even when you're astral traveling, you could easily feel back the physical atoms and the physical planet and come right back as an anchor.
Very helpful. Beautiful. Well, just a moment. We're going to ask King Cash to tune into the field live in real time and get a shift. So stay tuned for that. And right here, we're going to pause for a moment because if something inside of you is activating right now, this is your next step. Go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed and get your free starseed report. Learn your galactic ancestral lineage. It's not just information, it's a galactic mirror of who you truly are. It's Debbie with an I, Dachinger with a C. So it's Debbie, Dachinger.com/starseed. Next. King Cash and I are speaking live at the New Living Expo in San Rafael, California, April 17th through the 19th, to get your tickets to join us and many phenomenal galactic spiritual presenters, music, vendors, all of it. Come with us, meet us. It's at newlivingexpo.com. And if you're feeling this conversation, don't just watch it, interact with it. Comment, subscribe, like, and hype this video so we can reach the souls who are ready for this message. And thank you in advance for subscribing and liking. Okay. Next, I bring back King Cash, and what we're about to do is unprecedented. It's never happened before in the show. And King is going to tune into the field live, share what he sees around me in real time. So wherever you are, pause, breathe, because you may feel something shift. So I want to start with a quick question for you so people understand what you're doing, my darling. When you access someone's starseed heritage, what are you perceiving? Is it visual? Is it energetic? Is it something beyond human language?
I'm still even trying to figure out how to tell people who I am and what I do. I kind of realized I could almost do, I receive the information through all forms and kind of able to do everything depending on what it is that the spirits want to do in the moment. So sometimes the spirits want the person to know about their starseed heritage. So they'll give me the past lives or they'll tell me, show me about who they are, what they've done, and how it links to now. Sometimes they want to talk about certain things going on in the moment or things that are going on in your mind and places you're also traveling to. So your spirit team will always tell me anything that they want you to know about, want to communicate about, and they'll always just show me around energetically and in my mind anything they want to show me.
That is so helpful. Okay, incredible. So depth, you don't have words for it. We were talking about that before the show starts. Words like, can you give a reading? It's like, what does that even mean? Or are you psychic? Like, of course. So I was going to ask you, who is my star family? Who's around me? Or the cosmic origin map of my soul, where it's traveled? But also, now, hearing what you just said, let me acquiesce to you. And you've got a team that will direct this. So please go ahead and take over.
So I do want to talk about that starseed stuff in a minute, but you have the Syrian guide who's been telling me since we got on here about this Aztec traveling that you were doing at one point and gonna be doing. It's like in Mexico, and it's like these pyramids, and she's talking about sending her back to the pyramids, and it's like going back there and going. It's like you, she said that she's like, she wants to go in the pyramid and she wants to go in and see the rooms and go at the top and talk to the beings at the top. And the second thing she mentioned about that is the dolphin. She's like, ooh, we're about to get her to be with the dolphins real soon. I think it's Puerto Vallarta. She keeps bringing that to my awareness somewhere on the never eat on the west coast of Mexico. And she's talking about going to be around some dolphins and stuff. I can't wait for you to do that. It's gonna be awesome.
Well, that's very beautiful. I mean, I definitely have had a galactic past life in a pyramid in the region you're talking about. And I'm aware of that. And I believe I came from the Pleiades at the time. And very, 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 very tall being, very skinny. And so that's amazing. I would love to go back because I've been in them in the astral realm. And I would love to go back. It was very beautiful.
I do want to ask you
And
about this because,
yeah.
okay, now this is a little classified, so we may have to talk in code, but she said that she's shown you the inside of the pyramid at the bottom. So she said she's shown you mentally what some of the underground system of the pyramid looks like. And it's like there's all these different rooms and like system, and it leads to like a city. It's connected to like a city down there. And she said that she's shown you in your mind. It's like you just seen it in your mind, and you may have even thought it was just like you thinking about it and you're just like, oh, it's whatever. But she said, I've given her the sight of what's under the pyramids, and she's able to access it in the astral realm.
It's beautiful. Receive that. Receive that, Mr. and Mrs. Syrian guide. I would take that in a heartbeat and thank you.
I wouldn't be surprised if you did forget because it's like she said, your sight is going to be able to, you're gonna be able to go there all the time. You know what's funny is she's laughing because she's showing me now the east coast of Mexico, and she's bringing up the dolphins. She wants to talk about these dolphin stuff, and she's like, the communication with the dolphins is what she loves to do and what she's gonna be doing a lot more. It's like you're telepathically interacting with them already. And they said, we talk all the time and we want to show her more of the underwater city stuff. But you've already been really telepathic with them, which is beautiful.
Very Syrian, also the whales and the dolphins and all the aquatics. Oh, that's beautiful. That could totally happen. I mean, I would love to swim with dolphins. I actually never have before.
Can you
And I
tell us
can.
what it's like to kind of telepathically speak with dolphins in the way you have? Because it may not even be, I find this cool, y'all, because not all people know that it's telepathic communication, but they're speaking with them in terms of like saying out loud in their mind, like, I want to talk with y'all, and thinking about dolphins all the time and all of this, and that's very much like you. Like, just even like thinking about dolphins randomly in the day is part of this telepathic communication you're having.
Nice. Really nice. And of course, I believe in that 1,000%. That's how I communicate with my dogs as well. I mean, yes, I talk to them, of course, but mostly I think to them what I want, what I need, and they know they're definitely on that wavelength. I wanted to share with you too when you were saying earlier about that you had, before you understood what was going on, you had things that were coming up and showing you. You had little reference points that now you can look back and go, oh, okay, this was already happening. I was already thinking, I was already knowing, but it didn't click at the time. And I had one that came up the other day that was made me laugh out loud, because my whole thing with the lions, which is huge in my life now, and I'm like, God, what was it like before I was fully on board with all this galactic ET, UFO, who my family is, and my knowing of all that, my interacting with them. And I'm just like, it felt like it was nothing, like a big nothing. And then all of a sudden I woke up. And I thought the other day, oh my God, I remember when I went to Italy and in, oh God, I just also, by the way, there's another one. It's very interesting. Part of my astral travel, there used to be a lion. There was always a lion who came in. I was so young. I didn't understand. And so the only thing I knew was fear. I was terrified of this lion. And I wanted to do anything to get out of this situation. And of course, as we said before, the more I panicked, the more it went on and on. Never realized this was probably my family showing up. So that was very big, this astral thing. And the other thing was, I was married at one point. I was going through a divorce. I took myself very eat, pray, love to Italy. And I'm in Italy traipsing the whole country, having an amazing time. And I remember going to a fountain and seeing this lion at a fountain. And I'm just like stunned by its power. And I thought, I'm changing my last name. When this divorce goes through, I'm not going to be, I had another last name. And I'm not going back to my maiden name, Dashinger. No, I don't want a man's name. I want my own name. And I was going to be Debbie DeLion, right? That was DE
Wow.
Lion. And the only reason I didn't do it, because I thought, what a great name, was because I came back and this numerologist crunched all my letters. And she said, I'm sorry, sweetie, but Debbie Dashinger is actually an amazing name for you in this lifetime. Don't change it. So these are all those markers of knowing, but not being at all on board, aware, cognizant of what was really happening. But now today, like, it really makes sense, right?
Yeah, you already know you're a Lyra Pleiadian. Yeah, you already know what it is. I want to talk to you about this because there's been some astrological sort of understandings that have been coming recently for you and like studying of astrological stuff. And your guide said that she's trying to be able to do astrological readings on people.
I was just at an event. Like, I love astrology. I'm so into it. And I was just at an event. There was an astrologer, a really well-known astrologer, speaking there. And while he's speaking, my brain is popping. And I'm looking up stuff about myself. I'm asking AI all this stuff. And it's pretty incredible what AI can tell you. I also had just had an amazing astrologer on my show, David Palmer, AKA Lion. Yeah, the Leo King. And, incredible conversation, but I do this with people all the time. It's true. What is your sign? But I don't want to just know their sun sign. What is your rising? And what is your moon? And then I have a friend who's very interesting to me. He's very complicated. And I'm trying to understand him. So I got all his information and I fed it into the computer and I got like pages, 40 pages of information on him. And I shared with him, and it makes total sense. I look at all that, I'm like, yep, now I understand better who you are. Yep, check, check, check. So, yes, they're very right. That's
You're
me.
going to be able to do this real soon. They said in a few years she's going to be doing live sessions with that. It's like I see you like at a booth and you're doing this with people and you're discussing how it works. Like you're getting the, she said me and her are studying how the intricacies of the stars work in order to understand the energy and what that means. And if it's like stars are aligned in this way, what does that mean for you? Yeah, you're studying all that. You're meant to actually do that. And I want to ask you something because she keeps talking about these she's talking about two things, green adventuring, and she's mentioning the emerald tablets and this emerald energy here. It's so like there's a not I'm not sure if this is past, present, or future, but there's something that you are going to be diving into or maybe already have related to Egypt and like these tablets and like these emerald tablets. And she said that there's a part of a book or a part of the book you're gonna write that's related to Egypt and part of this understanding. And it's like this something with these emerald tablets and the Al Alexandria, this Egyptian energy they keep diving into and saying that you're gonna put that information out for the people in its own book. And she keeps showing me like this, like the book is like green and it's all about like ancient like Egyptian knowledge or like stuff like that.
Sounds amazing. I definitely have a connection, at least one, very, very, very powerful. But that I think is one of my first lifetimes after I was in the galaxy on Earth. The
Oh,
first
yeah,
lifetime
definitely.
was in Egypt. I know I was deeply connected with Isis, and the sacred temple of sex magic. There's no doubt about it. I have actually looked into the green tablets, and I have all that surrounds that with Thoth and even
I know this
more.
is kind of it's a little intricate, so you don't have to go do too deep into it if you don't want to, but she's just saying that this is going to be out in a patent version. And you know, it's I'm glad you said that because I was going to ask you next. I'm like, it feels like there's some strain with this. It feels like there's something like where it's so ominous that you kind of like put it aside for a second. And that was divinely guided because you're supposed to be receiving more insight about it throughout the months. And it's like once in a while your brain goes back to it and you get some more insight or look at it. She said that's on purpose because you're gonna have that out in a book in the next year or two.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Of course, you're
You really
welcome.
receive all of that. That's incredible. Well, tech, tech, tech.
I'm down for
One
any
is
questions too. If you have any questions or you want to talk about anything in particular, I'm all open ears. And also we got audience, so I'm down for anything.
they're typing away.
Okay.
Well, just in the interest of, we're going to be wrapping up soon. Otherwise, I'm questions galore. But I do want to wrap it up, and I want to ask you, oh, there's so much. Okay, you're talking about you work with the Galactic Federation of Light. What does that role look like in the practical day-to-day terms here on Earth, but also in the cosmic field?
Okay, that's actually a really good question. Not many people want to talk about this. Being a GFL agent, it's like you're mixing your human life with your ET self and ET life. Now, what does that look like? It looks like you embracing being a human, being in the human experience. You know, some things are a little too human, where I'm like, you know, they just want to talk about sports and whatever. I'm like, that's boring. Like, I don't want to talk about that. But I'm able to, for example, go somewhere and interact with these humans. I could even like be there with them, but really, I'm there not to talk about sports. I'm really there to assist them. I remember, for example, one time, I'll tell you this story and then I'll go into the business side of it. Is this was when I just graduated high school and I was still going to some high school parties. And I remember my guide was like, "We're gonna send you on a mission." And in my town, it's like a bush party, so we out in the bush like a hick party. And I remember I'm sitting in my chair. And that's when people were starting to call me King, and that's why I started to go by King Cash. And I'm sitting in this chair, and they're like, "Man, you're sitting on a throne, dog." And I remember at one point I had this urge. I'm like, "Someone's hurt, someone's in pain," and I saw this like trail of energy leading me to the train tracks, and I followed it, and there was a guy crying on the train tracks, and he's like going through struggle, and his guide is a beautiful Pleiadian woman standing behind him like this, and she's like, "I called for you. Like, can you help him right now?" And I talked to him. I'm like, I said, "So you just got in a breakup with your girlfriend?" And he was like, he looked up. He's like, "How? What? How do you know this?" And I just told him, "I'm like, I'm just here to help. I just want to let you know." And we talked a little bit about it. And I'll never forget. And one day he said, I added him on Snapchat after, and he texted me and he said, "You were like an angel sent from heaven. I asked for help and you came. And I don't know how you know this stuff, but thank you." And that's that. I never forgot that moment. That's when I really got in mission mode because I was like, "Wow, like these spirits need me to help these people in the physical that aren't really attuned to the spirit world yet. I'll do that above anything. And they were like, well, you now need to expand your business. We need you to talk on social media about this. I knew I'd be on social media, but I thought it was gonna be, I was gonna be like a TV producer or something. And then I was like, okay, so this is it. And so I ended up talking on social media. I didn't care if I was looking crazy because I was like, this is the truth and they'll realize later. And I remember I would just keep talking, and I would do one-on-ones and I would do classes. And that's how I started making my income was off of that. And so people would just, their spirit team would just send them to me, and then we would do what we got to do. And so I realized that the core of creating New Earth is to, of course, live as a New Earth being, live a New Earth, but also to create your businesses and what you create off of New Earth, off of this New Earth way, off of your business and off of your abilities and stuff, right? So it's like, if your mission is to heal people, you're going to want to create a business in which is centered around healing. Even some of you are disguised as like a doctor. And it's like you're a doctor, but you're also super sensitive energetically. So you're even doing Reiki on people when they in there. So this is what we mean by GFL disguised agents. It's like you're helping people in the way in your placement. Like the GFL sends you to be placed there. And they're like, hey, we need you at this clinic. Okay, now we're placing you at this clinic because we're going to send this person and they need your help in this way. Oh, now you ain't working in no clinic. Now we need you to build your own spiritual clinic. And now their business is truly based off of that. So I noticed there's always with GFL agents this thing where you're maybe working a classic human job, but you're working as an agent helping people through that job. And then you are creating a business or whatever work you're doing is based off of that craft and your passion. And that's what everything has to be about is your passion, because your passion is directly in correlation with what your soul is agreeing to do on the planet. And so what you do and what you're meant to do is linked with your passion and what you're naturally good at. And I tell all GFL people, I'm like, you gotta base all of your work and what you make money off of that. And if you can't yet, wherever you're placed at is for a divine reason, either lesson or you in mission.
What a wonderful reminder for all of us. I just love you, King
I love you
Cash. I
too.
really do. I think the world of you, and I think the world is so lucky to have you. How can people find you? Tell us what's next.
If you guys want to find me, you can find me on Instagram. I'm King Cash. That's my main hub. I got classes on school that I just started a few weeks ago. And so we're always doing these like divinations or this talking to spirits in there all the time. I got a Discord server and we're talking in the server all the time, all different ages and anybody. You guys can find me over there on Instagram. And I'm excited to be here with you guys and do everything we're about to do. I also do one-on-ones. So if you want to book with me, you always can. I'm looking forward to being a part of many of your journeys.
So again, the URLs, the links are in the show notes. And for him, it is planoly.store/KingCassius. King and I, Cash and I, are also speaking. It still feels weird to call you King, but we're
Yes.
speaking at New Living Expo together. I'm going to get to see him and hug him next week. Join us, newlivingexpo.com. And this is Dare to Dream. What are you next here to dream? What are your future dreams and visions?
My future dreams and visions is, of course, the new world. But to be part of making this new world is the best. And we all are the ones that are supposed to bring it. It's a divine plan for us to bring it, right? My vision is a world mixed in with the galactic world and the earth world. This planet is so more important than you guys know. And so many beings get to return home. And home is 5D Earth. And I'm looking forward to this so much. And the beings keep calling it Starway. And it's where after disclosure or what is really exposure for y'all star seeds, this is like, it is like this planet becomes an extreme like hub for everyone in the galaxy. And that is my vision, is for Earth to be the capital of the galaxy, which it technically already is. And you guys are cleaning up house. And that is my ultimate vision. So just in the next year, actually, even sooner than that, we're already seeing change. This is the year of disclosure, witnessing all this truth come out. Get ready for next year. You guys know what's up. And my vision is for this world to be full and mixed with all the different types of humans, even animals, cities where animals are walking on the streets, going to their work and doing their stuff. I see a world mix of animals, humans, insects, and ETs, and I am so excited to see it come into fruition.
Everybody, definitely check him out. And I end today's show with this reminder: if something inside of you woke up today, trust that. That's not imagination. That is remembrance. And you're not becoming something new. You're remembering something ancient. And the moment that you trust that memory, that knowing, the universe begins to meet you more than halfway. Join us next week on Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger when I'm featuring Maria Martinez. I think this will be her third time on the show. She's a galactic traveler, medical intuitive and healer, and much more. Comes from a shamanic lineage. Thank you so much for joining us today. And let us know in the comments what impacted you in today's show.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.